Words of Wellness. I am your host, Dr. Wells, and today we have a friend of mine, and her name is Renee Sturgis. We met at an old gym that is not in existence anymore in Lake Wylie or in Rock Hill anymore, within that one. But I was sparked with interest because of her journey, in particularly her health journey within that, and where she's come from, where I didn't know of, and then where she is today. She has a cool husband that will call me out for working out at Planet Fitness, even though that's the only place that I have right now. And today we just wanted to talk about women's health, because obviously she is a female, but just health in general and getting different perspectives on what it looks like, because we all do not have the same journey. And so, Renee, how are you?
I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Yes. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
So I am about to be 39. I live in Rock Hill, as you said. Fitness is a huge part of our lifestyle. We have a very busy life. Both of us have big jobs that require a lot. So, you know, making sure that we're fitting all of this in the middle of trying to make sure we have a healthy marriage, you know, we really believe that health for us is kind of mind, body, spirit, and not just body. So it's trying to incorporate all those things. And we live on a farm. And
I did not know that.
We do. We live on a farm.
Better and better already.
Yes. Okay. And no kids. Right. We are dog parents. And so it's just a huge part of our life, and we're just busy, busy, busy all the time. So
now I am too much of a city boy to know. So when I hear farm, that I have learned, especially living in the Lake Wylie Clover area, that that means different things. So is your farm just land? Are there animals that you have to take care of, that you're producing? And what does that look like?
So, full transparency, I do not have anything to do with the farm. I am a city girl that married a country boy, and it is a full cattle farm. So, there's cows, chickens. We've had horses, pigs. We have the dogs. They've had peacocks. So, yes. And then there's also, Sturgis Farms is the gardening too. So they do vegetables also throughout the year, seasonal.
Okay.
So it's a little bit of absolutely everything out there.
Wow. Okay. Yeah. And what does your husband do?
So my husband owns Scoop Brothers Canine Waste Removal. It started kind of a part-time thing. He's an electrician by trade and just took off. And that was 5 years ago. And now it's, recently been franchised. And so it's growing faster than he can keep up with. And, so they service residential and commercial in, you know, all over Rock Hill, Charlotte, Fort Mill, all that. So,
Cool. You mentioned that you are 39, when you're turning 39.
I'll be 39 in August.
Okay. In August. How do you feel about that?
I don't feel 39. Sometimes, you know, I'll see people that are my age and go, oh my gosh, I hope that I don't look like I'm that old. Like, because it's just so important, you know, that what comes with health is, you know, physically, not just being in shape or being the right weight, but also healthy skin, healthy teeth, healthy nails, healthy, you know what I mean? All of those things.
Yes.
So,
see, this is why I have you here. I would not have thought about nails.
Oh, yeah. So it's kind of like a total package thing when you're focused on, you know, the health in all those ways.
Yeah. You, and not even knowing the details of this, but that's one thing that I'm huge into is holistic health.
Mm-hmm.
With making sure, like you said, body, soul, and spirit.
Mm-hmm.
That's actually how mental health really is.
Mm-hmm.
It's your spirit, it's your emotions, your heart, which is really just a heart issue.
Mm-hmm.
With everything, you have your psyche, which is sometimes we have to don't go psycho.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
With it, and then how we are socially. And so all those things play a factor in there. I'm really interested to see, I've seen pictures,
mm-hmm.
But we've never dived into the story of your health journey. What prompted you to become, have you always been into fitness?
I would say not always into fitness, but I have always been an athlete. So there's always been movement, but not necessarily, I would say, fitness like the gym.
Okay.
Well,
define the two.
I always played sports, but then when the sport ended, I wasn't going to the gym afterwards, or I wasn't focused on lifting. That really came hand in hand with the sports when I was in college, because they have you playing your sport, and then they have a lifting plan and an eating plan and that kind of things for you, like as a college athlete.
Okay.
But before that, I wasn't.
Okay.
I wasn't mixing the two.
What sport did you play?
I played basketball.
What may?
I did. I played. I was 5 years old when I went on my first little team and played through middle school, high school, college, and then.
Did you graduate in Rock Hill?
Oh no, I'm from South Florida.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, so I played in Florida.
Nice.
Yeah.
Okay. If you don't mind,
mm-mm.
From your perspective, where were you the lowest in your health journey, mentally and physically? And when I say lowest, the place where, or have you ever reached a place where you didn't like who you were?
Oh my gosh. Yeah, there was certainly. And I think, and it probably went through college and into some of my younger adult life, like maybe 20s.
Okay.
And I think it was, as you said, it was a mixture of not being happy with the physical, bad relationships. So not being happy in the mental. I didn't have a strong relationship with God at that point. So also my spiritual was there, you know, cause I was raised in the church and I got saved when I was young. So, but there was no true active relationship with God in my life. I just knew, you know,
many of us.
Right.
Same.
And so, so I would say during that time, it was a constant struggle of trying to figure out, you know, who I was and how, and eating, you know, eating and working out, how those worked hand in hand, you know, not just working out and then eating whatever I wanted, that type of thing. So,
okay. So that was a lot within there. But I wanted to go back to the originalness within that. How long were you in that phase of, I'm assuming, was there a part where you didn't like the way you looked?
I think I didn't like the way I looked from maybe high school till the end of college. I mean, I think I struggled because I was always athletic. I was always a little on the thicker side, you know, even a little overweight when I was younger.
Okay.
And playing college sports, they wanted you to be solid. You know, I'm 5'9", so I'm tall, but not tall necessarily for a post player.
Correct.
In basketball. So I had to be able to hold my ground. Mm-hmm. And so they liked me heavier, more solid.
Okay.
But I just wasn't. I always felt like I wasn't very feminine in that way. And unlike our culture now, you know, skinnier was better.
Mm-hmm.
We were into the low rise jeans and, you know, all those things. And so I just felt like I didn't fit that mold when I was younger.
That mold. Yeah. What do you feel like the mold is now for women? And is it different for age groups?
I don't know that I would say it's different for age groups, but I feel like there's, you know, the movement of everyone is beautiful and accepting yourself as you are, okay. And, you know, even to a fault, whatever you want to wear is okay. Whatever you want to do is okay. You know, however you want to look is okay. Yeah. You know, if I want to be Frankenstein today, that's who I get to be. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
So, but I definitely think that acceptance is so much more heavy in our culture now than it was. You know, even look at the models when I was in high school. You know, the Abercrombie models were tiny,
yes,
with low-rise jeans and crop tops and
yes,
no bellies and no hips. And
yes.
No. So, I mean, I think that's certainly changed over the years. So
very much so. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's so common to, I wouldn't know, literally, but it's so common to hear BBL.
Mm-hmm.
Everything has just been, I think we've even had this conversation before, natural versus what has been supplemented or drug induced in some kind of way. And that's for men too.
Oh yeah.
It's very hard to know unless you know what someone is within that. How does that help you, or how did that help you mentally, knowing, or did it help you, the going through the different phases of what's accepted? Did that play a toll on you mentally?
Well, I think younger it did, because I didn't feel accepted.
Okay.
Because I felt like I was much bigger than what was portrayed as being beautiful at that time. So it played on your self-esteem as far as, you know, guys wanting to date you and why didn't they? And, you know, different things like that. You know, the girls that looked like those Abercrombie models were the girls that got dates and, you know, and that type of thing. And then on top of that, you know, I had a tomboy side to me being an athlete.
Okay.
So, you know, you mix me having weight struggles and I and some body dysmorphia issues mixed with wanting to play basketball and be good, but also be a woman and be girly and, you know, all those things. So I certainly think it played a role as I was figuring out who I was.
Yeah, figuring out, because there are still teenagers, obviously, and the 20 and under that still go through that phase somewhat of trying to be who they are. I'll counsel teenage girls, and that's one of that image of still being accepted is, you're right, it's, they do see models and still look at sports athletes and have that kind of inspiration and then trying to figure out what's them, though. That's where identity and mental health come into play as well for them. And when I have the older women, like 35 and up, they are not necessarily concerned about necessarily looks, but they are concerned about their health as far as fitness is concerned. Does it help when you have a supportive two phases, your husband to support you and also a community of support as well? What has been the advantages of those for you in having that?
So first, I would say it absolutely helps to have a spouse that's supportive, even if it's not their journey. You know, my husband would certainly tell you that I'm the more disciplined out of the two of us.
Really?
He tends to be more on track with what he's doing when I'm dialed in and doing it.
He's so you're the driving force.
Right. He's much more easily swayed off of, you know, I feel like pizza tonight, let's go get pizza, you know, type of mentality. So
I mean, he has the body that
he does. But he is also 6 years younger than me. So I don't know that he is. So I don't know
how
that
old is he?
He just turned 33.
That little booger. He's still on snow. What
yeah, so
smiling?
So that's why, yeah. I don't think everything's kicked in yet to where he's.
Okay. Yeah. I'm going to give you about four more years.
That's what I said, too. I said, yeah. Get close to 40 and then talk to me.
Yes, it does feel bad. 30 didn't feel bad.
40, right, right.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So, but regardless of what he's doing in his fitness journey, he's always supportive of what I'm doing. So, typically I always, like, I have a coach, you know, a prep coach and, you know.
A prep coach? What's a prep coach?
A prep coach is someone, typically he's getting people ready for competition prep, like, bodybuilding shows.
Okay.
And so, because of where I am in my journey, although I'm not competing, I need someone that is that specific, not just for lifestyle,
yeah.
Because, sometimes I'm not just trying to maintain where I'm at. And so I need someone that, has a little more experience in very small changes or what would seem like very small changes to somebody.
Okay.
So he supports all that. He supports that, financially, you know, supports that, you know, verbally, mentally, like everything, whatever I need, he supports. And I think that that makes 100% of the difference in what I'm doing.
Okay.
And then as far as community, I think that that helps. I mean, you need to be around like-minded people, and that's in everything. You know, you want to be successful, you surround yourself with successful people. So I think that our gym community are also people that have the lifestyle that aren't, you know, fair weather gym goers, you know. It's not about if I can make it, it's just when in the day I'm going, you know.
Yep.
So our schedules are really built around when we get to the gym. Typically for me it's 5 a.m. because I like to get it out of the way and
Same.
Be done. Yeah, you do too.
Yeah.
So and so it does make a difference. People understand, you know, and then when you can't go out to eat or you need to pack your own food or something of that nature, they just understand the lifestyle.
Yeah.
So we do definitely have friends that don't do it, but
yeah.
It helps to have a good group of people that also have that same lifestyle.
So that's a great point. Of people of like-minded is great, but it's also good to have people that the gym is just not their lifestyle as well.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't try and influence them and they don't try and influence you either. You just,
that's not always the case, but yeah.
They're trying to influence you.
Oh my gosh, yes. If you go out with people that don't understand that lifestyle and say, I'm not drinking tonight, or I'm not.
Yeah.
Why not? One drink's not going to kill you. One dessert's not going to kill you. Yeah. Yeah. One dessert's not going to kill you. Well, I understand that. You know, so it's, and then it's like explaining, you know, or not explaining and just being, or, you know, the risk of being no fun. You're no fun. Well, I'm going to have to be no fun then.
Yeah.
So
that's cool. Because couples do go double dates and triple dates and all that all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So it is easier when everybody knows this is our crew, this is what we're going to eat. It's always who we are. You don't feel like you have to go off on a Thanksgiving binge every time within that. So yeah, that community is there as well.
Mm-hmm.
When you, do you ever go through moments or ever had a season of burnout? And was it hard to get back into the fitness side of things or, whatever that area of burnout was?
So typically my area of burnout is not the gym. It's the food. I
Great
truly
point.
Love
yes.
the gym. I mean, I look forward to going.
That's my hypey spot.
Yeah. Sometimes I'm not, you know, I am tired and sometimes I lack some motivation, but there's a big difference between motivation and discipline.
Yes.
And so I'm not always motivated to go, but I am always disciplined to go.
Yes.
So sometimes I go and I go through the motions,
That's
but,
me.
But I go.
Oh, gotcha.
So the
yeah.
gym is not typically my burnout. And then also probably like you, I have a rest day or two where I just do get my steps in or something like that, where I'm not lifting, right? Yeah. And so, so it would be the food for me, because I am not a picky eater and I love sweets. Mm. So it's not wherever we go and we're very social. Mm-hmm. I'm going to find something I like. I'm going to want to taste their desserts. I'm going to want to. And so, I would say the burnout of being on meal prep or, you know, counting macros, right? Something like that.
Okay.
That's where I get burned out sometimes. But as long, if I'm making progress, I don't get burned out. But when I feel like I'm just kind of maintaining or, you know, something's not moving as quickly as I'd like it to, then I tend to, sometimes I just feel like, I'm not sure why I'm doing this. So, you know, you just get that burnout.
Yes.
You know.
So good. Mm-hmm. That is the reality for anybody you see at the gym, mm-hmm. especially if they're trying to cut fat.
Mm-hmm.
A little bit different with increasing calories. It could be hard just to, if you're trying to bulk, mm-hmm. it's hard for people to start going from 2,000 calories to 2,600 mm-hmm. calories. It may sound fun, but if you're doing it the right way, it's very hard.
Right.
Even to adjust your stomach, you can't do that quickly within that. But that burnout mentally, mm-hmm. it does play a part in there. And I think that's where for people to lessen the burnout, we have to take, like we said, take the psych of it and realize that there's going to... You have to give yourself a break at some point.
Mm-hmm.
And that can be a meal. It can be mm-hmm. a day. Mm-hmm. It can be just the weekend. And mm-hmm. you know Monday's coming.
Mm-hmm.
There's actually studies. There's a guy I follow on YouTube that does everything by science. And just talks about the breaks that are needed. Because if you go over 3 months, those weeks, without a break... within some type of thing,
mm-hmm.
Is you're more easily to burn out and hard to get back in
mm-hmm.
with it. And so he talks about like the different types of taking 2 weeks after 8 weeks off mm-hmm. of just those kind of things like that. And he's right, because mentally it is like, oh, I gotta eat this again.
Mm-hmm.
I'm mm-hmm. tired of this. I don't want to do that. And then when you don't have that, you're going do Wendy's or McDonald's or something mm-hmm. that's going to make you feel like crap after you ate it.
Right. I think you have to mentally prepare yourself a little bit to not be perfect and to allow yourself some grace. You know, I saw something one time that said if you had 100% each day and if you were perfect on your eating and your working out and everything, that was a day of 100%.
Mm.
And so for people that have like Monday 100%, Tuesday 100%, Wednesday you mess up a little, Wednesday's only 75%. Mm-hmm. So then you go, forget it. And then the rest of the week you're at 20% because mm-hmm. you just say, forget it.
Yeah.
Well, when you average those out, it's better for the average is better for you to have not seven perfect days, averages out better to three perfect days
mm-hmm.
and then four very, you know, wishy-washy days. Yeah. So no one is perfect, you know, mm-hmm. no one is 100% every single day,
mm-hmm.
you know, whether that's throughout your workout, whether that's through, you know, that extra scoop of peanut butter you ate that was not on your meal plan or whatever it is. And you really have to say like, I didn't get here. Right. Yeah. Oh, that's everybody. Let's not get into peanut butter because that's the whole thing right now. But, you know, you just have to get to a point where, you know, I didn't get here overnight and I'm not going to go backwards overnight with a bad day or not a perfect day, as I like to say. So, and I'm not saying this because it's easy for me. It's certainly something that I have to work on mentally.
Food is never easy for anybody.
Right.
If you love food.
Right.
It is never going to be easy to restrict yourself.
Right.
With it. So, yes, that's very true. The part that you mentioned that I wanted to we'll wrap up with is the grace part.
Mm-hmm.
Many people, especially when we're in community, will easily extend grace to the other person. Mm-hmm. Oh, I haven't seen you in a week or two, or you haven't coming back to the gym in so long, mm-hmm. or you didn't go eat with us. But to themselves, it is very hard to forgive themselves and issue grace to them and realize that you're not perfect.
Mm-hmm.
Especially those that are melancholy temperament, people that are introvert and all have that perfectionist trait.
Mm-hmm.
It is very hard to show grace to ourselves and realize, hey, number one, you are human. And so giving yourself that grace really can help you from even preventing a burnout and just being realistic. Because our health journey is a marathon. It's not going to be, if it was, everybody would do it.
Right. And if it was easy, everybody would do it.
Yes. So. And you're going to have to take care of your health every day that you live.
Yeah. I think you have to mentally, and some people it's easier than others, you know, full transparency. You know, when I started, I also started therapy at the same time because some of the grace for me was that, you know, when you beat yourself down in your head about what you look like or what you just ate or those two French fries, that takes a toll on you mentally, but also physically. And it prevents you from hitting those goals, because if you can't come out of that mentality of just, you know, whether it's talking down to yourself or beating yourself up, it really makes it hard for your body to, you know, feel free enough to do what it's supposed to do and progress in that way. And so, so I needed some help to, work on my self-worth and self-esteem and things of that nature, where my goal needs to be healthy. You know, it doesn't need to be to look like a picture of a fitness influencer that I see on Instagram.
Right.
And so, my goal is to be the best version of Renee that I can be. And I think that it took a lot of time and work and effort to, and I'm working every day to extend myself that grace. So I think a lot of times we look at people that we may think are in better shape than us and feel like they have it all together. She eats right. She does everything good. I would wish I could look like that. And like we just said, that's never the case. And so it's important to have these conversations to make sure that everyone sees that it doesn't matter what you look like, honey. Everybody's got their own stuff that they're working through.
That is a great point to hear from females. Another female as well. Because males, we think the same thing too. He can do what he needs to. He can lift or go eat whatever he wants because of the way he looks on the outside. But even I had this conversation with myself, and I'm not crazy. But even when I reached my desired goal, it changes again.
Yes.
And I'm never happy.
Yes.
I don't think I'll ever be happy. And it sounds kind of scary to a degree, but I also know once I've reached this goal I've done before, well, I don't like this part, so I'll do this, or I want to see what this looks like if I increase here or decrease there. Just like you said, for prep coaching, the small changes. But it's always there. I'm never satisfied.
There's a little bit of healthy discontentment, though, because that continues to push you to be better, the next goal, the next level. But there has to be a balance of where have I come from, how much I've accomplished, and also, like you said, the ability to go, I'm taking a break today, and you know what? That's okay. I'm not going to the gym, and that's okay. Or I'm going to eat this burger, and that's okay. You know, so absolutely. It's definitely a balance that we all work on in our own ways. So
very true. Very true. And I think we will title this, "And That's Okay."
I love it. I say it all the time.
"And That's Okay." Well, as you know, people, as we close out, we are we always say a quick prayer over the topics that we have. And so today we're going to pray over our health. So, Father, I thank you for this moment that we've had with Renee, and just the complete honesty, the transparency that everybody, no matter the gender, is on a journey. But it's good to hear that you can provide a peace that surpasses all understanding, and the God of grace can show us grace. Why can't we show it to ourselves as well? So, Lord, I pray that we continue to be a better health nation, a better health cultures, better health engenders, to make sure that we are happy and we are healthy, to make sure that we can carry the call that you have given us. And it's in your name we pray. Amen.
Amen.
Well, everyone, I thank you again for listening in. I thank Renee for dropping by.
You're welcome.
And we will see you next episode. Have a great day.